blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 350, stanzas 1 through 5. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, "Come, let us in God's temple meet. And within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet." 1 through 5 of Psalter 350.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 122nd Psalm, Psalm 122. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 122. A song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember and prayer this morning, Mr. Case Alleman, who is a week at home. Also, Mrs. Van Heerden is still at home. Also, Chad Outshorn, who has been in the hospital in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may begin in this morning hour by hearing that which was lying in the heart of thy dear servant, when his heart may go out with holy longings for thee and for the prosperity of thy church, for that holy Jerusalem, for thy Zion, whom he said was a city compact together, a city lying in a true union, that union in the first place with thee, and then a union as the fruit with one another, compact together. And Lord, oh, may thou look upon us also in this day, in the day that we are living with our dear children, when he did say to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the prosperity of thy own church. Lord, wilt thou give such a cry in our hearts in this morning hour, that thy own church may prosper, that thy people may prosper. Oh, we ask it not for all the things of this world, but we ask it for that new life that thou hast planted in their hearts. Oh, that that life may prosper, that thou may give food and drink in thy house of prayer, that there may be a growing in that grace which thou hast planted in their hearts, that grace that is so necessary for that afflicted, that poor people to experience day by day in all their undeserving wretchedness. Lord, it is a people that must say that they have not one penny to pay for that great debt that lieth upon them. And that is a debt already in their father Adam, but it is a debt that is only increasing by their actual sin, that in thought, word, and deed, day by day. Lord, what hope and expectation can lay in the heart of that people when they have to experience the weakness of their flesh, even though it is the desire of their mind and of that new man, that they may live according to all thy statutes and all thy commandments and all thy precepts. People that must complain, even as thy servant of old, even him that did have, that may say in his life, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, that man who must still complain of himself, of that wretchedness that lay within, that wretched man that I am. Lord, and a people that must experience that they have no strength in that warfare against the great might of that company that cometh against them. And what hope and expectation then can that people have, except that it would be in thy dear Son? Oh, that they might be washed, that they might be cleansed, that they might be forgiven, that they may be redeemed, that they may be covered by his righteousness, and so that they may be brought with that desire that thou hast placed in their heart, in that new birth, again into thy blessed communion and favor. Lord, wilt thou look upon that people? They have nothing, Lord. They have nothing in their own strength. They are but a sink of sin. They are but filled from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot.
with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and except that thou didst take of that blood by thy high priest and sprinkle it upon them, oh, except that thou didst say unto that people, I will be thou clean, then they must remain in that awful leprosy, which will condemn them to that never-ending eternity. O Lord, we beseech thee, remember thy people. O give that all the things that they must experience in this life by the way of thy providences may be used in, as an instrument in thy hand to further the work of grace in their soul, that thou may have dealings with them, and that thou may instruct them increasingly of all that lies within, that their cry may come more and more before thy mercy seat as one that is so wretched and so helpless, that they may, by beginnings here below, and then in perfection to that never-ending eternity, that they may sing to the glory of thy only and thy dearly beloved Son, who has come to pay the full price for all that the people cannot do, and for all that rebellion of their sinful will. Lord, may thou give them a little eye to see this day something of the blessedness of thy own work, the mediatorial work of thy only begotten Son. Oh, give them to see a little bit into that good pleasure of the Father, even in the decrees from that never begun eternity. Oh, that they may rejoice in the wisdom, the depths of that wisdom of God. Oh, that thou would give also in the midst of us as a congregation a new desire, because, Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. And when we are still in that state in which we have been born, oh, then we have no eyes to see all the wretchedness of ourselves. Now we have no impression in our soul to that of that great eternity to which we are traveling. Oh, we are so dependent upon the work of thy Holy Spirit, thou who hast all the power in the heavens and in the earth, and thou who can say to thy Spirit, go, and he will go also in this day, and he will go forth to work in our midst also, even among those that are still dead in sins and in trespasses, even to quicken to that new life. Lord, we beseech thee, as those who are undeserving of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy blessings, for this one blessing, this thy holy day, that thou may be in the midst of us, and that thou may come with thy Holy Spirit, and that thou may work with might and with power amongst the children, amongst the youth, amongst the fathers and the mothers, that thou may give that life from the dead that shall never die, but that shall be born to live to that never-ending eternity, and that may be born to glorify and to magnify thee in all thy mediatorial engravings. Lord, wilt thou work, or wilt thou dig up the fallow ground, and wilt thou bring man in the dust before thee? And may thou show us the truth, Lord, and may thou give us an impression of the reality of our relationship with thee, that it is broken, 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 and that we lie under thy wrath and thy hot displeasure. Oh, that we might learn to seek, and that we might learn to hasten, and that we might learn to run for the sake of our life, because the time is short. And Satan goes about to destroy, even to deceive the very elect, if it were possible. Wilt thou put his devices away from among us as a congregation, when we lie in the way of self-deceit? Oh, that hypocritical heart. Lord, wilt thou undeceive us then? And wilt thou give us light for the first time in our life? Oh, that thou may come, Lord, and with thy Holy Spirit to undeceive us and to give us for the first time to cry out, smiting upon our breast, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Then the poor will have hope. And then thy people, Lord, will rejoice when they may see also amongst us a people who are so humbled before thee and who cannot go on in their life anymore in that same way that we have been born, that can no longer follow after this world, that have no more desire for all the works of the flesh. Lord, give us yet to rejoice in thy work in the midst of us. Do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. We cannot lay before thee one reason from our own side. Thou knowest how hypocritical that we are. Thou knowest our religion, that it is a religion of form and custom. Thou knowest our laxity, Lord. Thou knowest that we have thy truth, and we do not hold thy truth as thou hast given it by our forefathers in that right esteem as we ought to do. Lord, we are so guilty. We are so filthy. We are so polluted. May thou look upon us in mercy and come from thy side. Stretch forth thy mighty arm. Oh, speak with power in the midst of us, Lord, and leave us not to go our own way. Wilt thou look upon all of the youth? Lord, they have begun school in the week that is gone by. But oh, may thou be their instructor and their teacher from above. Because we can learn so many things in this world. But when we have not that instruction, that school of free and sovereign grace, then what shall be their profit? Lord, we beseech thee for the young ones. We beseech thee for the old ones. There are those that are in their own homes. They listen by church telephone this day. There is weakness of the body. Strengthen them in mercy. And Lord, wilt thou be with all that are old and those that have heard thy word for so many years and who have received so much knowledge thereof in their minds, but have never been affected in their soul. Lord, we beseech thee, O thou who hast come to seek and to save that which is lost, that thou would remember them when the time that is becoming so short, and when they are going closer and closer to that time, when they must pass out of this life, and when they must go unto their long home. Lord, then it is a serious thing to have a soul and to be going to a never-ending eternity. Oh, look upon them in mercy. And wilt thou bring something back, Lord, something this day that may be said in thy house. Oh, may it be by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Something this day that they have heard in their life. Something this day spoken out of thy word. And oh, that there may be an undeserved blessing even in the 11th hour, as it was with that thief. Who may it glorify thee, and who today, oh, today may sing, Lord, not for because of himself, no, but may sing for the glory of thy holy name. Lord, wilt thou remember us as a congregation? Oh, give thy Spirit among us from day to day. And give us to walk in thy truth. Give us to walk according to thy holy commandments. Keep us from all evil and from sin. And do forgive our sins. And look upon us in and through him in whom thou art so well satisfied and so well pleased. May it be felt, may it be experienced this day that thou art pleased with what he has done, and that thou may apply it to our hearts. Wilt thou look upon all those that are afflicted in our midst and over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Lord, give that the afflictions may be used, may be sanctified. Go with thy servants, Lord. In this day they are called to bring thy word. Thou didst say it is by the foolishness of preaching. And thou knowest and that it is a people that have no strength, that have no wisdom, and that do not know how to feed thy people. Thy servant Solomon did beseech of thee wisdom. Lord, we ask it of thee for ourselves and for all those who are truly called and sent by thee, when they must go forward in this day, when that they cannot go in their own strength. Oh, we beseech thee then that thou may strengthen them in the mind and in the body. And oh, give to us the double portion of thy Holy Spirit that thou hast shed upon thy servant Elijah. And that we may be given to bring thy word, that it may be with freedom and with liberty, and that thou may give thy blessing, and so that thou may show thyself to be in the midst of us as one that doth serve. Lord, forgive and take away and keep us from all sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 194, stanzas 1 through 6. His wide dominion shall extend from His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds His peaceful rule shall be. The last collection today is for the school fund, Psalter 194, all stanzas.
Congregation, the words of our text can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, there of the 5th chapter, the 9th verse. Matthew 5, verse 9, these words, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So far, in the words of our text, the blessedness of peacemakers. First, what it means to be a peacemaker. Second, what a peacemaker shall be called. The blessedness of peacemakers. First, what it means to be a peacemaker. And second, what a peacemaker shall be called. Thus, congregation, and the Lord Jesus, in the words of our text, speaks about peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Thus, peace. What is that? That is to have a harmonious relationship. That is a relationship that may be in the absence of all strife and all discord of all warfare. A unity, a communion in a relationship. Blessed are the peacemakers. Thus, what is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is one who is promoting the peace, one who is promoting this harmonious relationship between individuals. Blessed are the peacemakers. We hear much in our time about peace. We hear much in the world among the nations about peace, and also among the religions that are in this world. Thus, among the nations, we have a United Nations. There is a working together of nations, a dialogue, a speaking together, and attempting to compromise, and thus to bring about peace. That is also in the churches. Then, as man is looking over the history of the whole world, then he sees that there has been so much strife in this world, so much warfare, so much discord for the sake of religion. And therefore, man, he attempts to bring all the religions of the world together that they may find some common ground, they may find some unity, and that we may have one world religion, and so that we may have peace in this world. Blessed are the peacemakers. When we read in the Holy Word of God, then this declaration of the Lord Jesus seems to be a contradiction, somewhat of a paradox to us. Because God Himself in His Word is called the God of peace. And yet we know, boys and girls, that the Lord has also commanded that His children should go to war. So that those are two things, they do not seem to go together. Seems to be a contradiction. Who was it that has spoken these words? That was the Lord Jesus himself. Blessed are the peacemakers. And yet we read that the Lord Jesus is speaking words that we would say do not foster peace at all when he is speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes. Then he is speaking to them, woe upon woe. We read of Phinehas that he has taken a dagger in his hand and he has stricken that dagger through both a man and a woman. And the Lord has commended him. Not only commended him, but the Lord has given him a promise, therefore, that he would give unto him his covenant of peace. On the other hand, we read of Jehoshaphat that he has made peace with the king of Israel. When he has made peace with the king of Israel, then the Lord has sent a prophet to Jehoshaphat and he has rebuked him and said that for this that there is wrath against him from the Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers. Thus, it is evident that we must come to an understanding of these words of the Lord Jesus, what he means when he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Thus, not all peace is a peace that the Lord Jesus is here in his word commending or commending. Thus, there are distinctions that need to be made. We read of the Lord that he is rebuking the false prophets. They are calling peace, peace, when there is no peace. Paul says that when they shall cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. So many perplexities. Peace. Peace that is a harmonious relationship. Thus, peace has to do with relationships. And thus, we must consider what kind of relationships are there in this world. In the first place, there are relationships among people. There are relationships among men. These are relationships among the creatures of God. They are relationships in the government. You may have also business relationships. There are relationships within the church, ecclesiastical relationships. There are relationships within the families. There are relationships which are personal. Thus, many relationships between a man and a man, the creatures of God. However, there is also another relationship, and that is the relationship between God and man. That is the relationship between God and the soul of his creature. What kind of a relationship is that? That is a covenant relationship. There is also a relation within God. That is a triune God consisting of three persons. And there is within that relationship of God himself, a perfect harmony and a perfect peace. That there is no difference between the will of the Father and the will of the Son and the will of the Holy Spirit, but a perfect harmony. It was so when we were created by God that also that perfect harmony existed between God and our soul. that everything that lay in the heart of that created man that went out unto God in agreement with his will, with the desire to glorify that name of God. Where has the change come in that relation? Do you know that, boys and girls? Well, we know that Satan has broken that harmony already in heaven. That Satan was an angel that was created as all the other angels in that true bowing, in holy awe before the God, his maker. And Satan has rebelled against God. And Peter writes how that the Lord did not spare the angels that sinned, but he has cast them out down unto hell. And now that Satan has also been an instrument to break that same relationship of God with man. Thus, Satan is the first peace breaker. And what did man do? Man has also broken that peace with God. And man has made peace with the devil. Thus, willfully chosen the side of the devil. In our fall, that man has declared war against God. When he has joined him who has declared war against God already in heaven. Thus man has made a friend of the devil. The devil then has brought warfare in heaven and upon the earth, that he began to fight against God, and that represents that ideological warfare between good and evil in this whole universe. Not that that was not in God's power to prevent, if it were his will. But God has himself decreed it. And yet the devil himself remains responsible as the author of that warfare. Satan, we know, was cast out of heaven. But Satan was not cast out of the earth. But the Lord has given yet Satan a place to work in this world. As a matter of fact, we read in the Bible that he is called the prince of this world. Thus, that the Lord has given him that he may have a certain dominion over the sons of men in this world. The devil can never be reconciled unto God. The devil is the eternal enemy of God. And thus, as long as the devil still is given a certain place in this world, it is impossible that warfare shall cease upon this earth. The United Nations makes an attempt to seek peace. That is not wrong. That is for men, a good, a right, a proper, a scriptural goal. But The United Nations is seeking that peace in this world in the wrong way. Why? Because in order to have true peace, then it is necessary to take out of the way that which is standing in the way of true peace. And what is now standing in the way of true peace, that is sin. True peace between men begins with peace between God and man. Cannot be otherwise. Why cannot it be otherwise? Because this is the original relationship which existed. Before there was a second man, thus, only when there was Adam, there was a relation between Adam and God. That was the first relation, not man to man, but God to man. Thus, this is the relation, that relation between God and man, upon which the relation between man and man is founded. Thus, that true peace between man and man can only come when there is true peace between God and the soul of man. And what is necessary to have peace, to have a harmonious relationship between God and man? I think I can ask the smallest of the children that question. Then you say, sin must be taken out of the way. Then you are right. Then it is necessary because God cannot dwell with sin, that if there shall be peace between God and our soul, that every sin must be wholly, completely removed. Jehu said to Joram said to Jehu, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And what was his answer? He said, "What peace? As long as the whoredoms of thy mother, they are not taken out of the way." Thus, sin. Sin must be removed for that true peace to be possible. It is indeed possible that without the removal of sin, that there is a harmonious relation between man and man. How is that possible? That is possible when both man and man are living in sin. Then they may have a harmonious relation. But it is impossible to have true peace between that true church who is given a true peace with God, that it is impossible for that true church to have a truly peaceful relation between himself and the wicked. Thus, if the United Nations does not now unite against sin, then the United Nations can only be united in sin. That is what they are doing. Then we overlook sin. We do not put it out of the way. We compromise with one another. And actually, as a United Nations, make peace with, not God, but the devil. Congregation, that is the reason that the United Nations can only contribute to the gathering of Gog and Magog against the true church of God, as it has to happen in the end of this world. All this that United Nations does under the name of peace, but all of this is contributing to nothing but to the preparation to that final battle and tribulation against that true church of God. There is no way that that true church of God is going to be able to compromise the truth and to unite in sin. And therefore, when that United Nations shall continue in their same way, then they can only be an organization that shall fight against that true church. And thus, true peace congregation that cannot come outside of warfare. Warfare. Warfare with sin. That is the only possibility for true peace with God and true peace with my neighbor. Everything else that we call peace, that is nothing but still remaining armed, still remaining ready to fight. Do we say there should not be a dialogue among the nations? No, we don't say that at all. Do we say that we ought not to live in peace with those who are about us in this world, with all of those who are of a different idea, a different thought, those who are sunk in the errors that Satan brings in this world? No, we do not say that we ought not to live with them in peace. But what do we say? We say that we should not expect a world peace without going to the root of that warfare. You must go to the root of that warfare. The only other way to have a harmonious relation in this world before men is to get rid of the true church of God. And therefore, congregation, that can be the only goal, the final goal in the end, of that organization of the nations of our world. Do we say even on another level that we cannot do business with this world? No, we do not say that either. That we cannot have an outward harmonious relation. But when we seek more than this, then what? Then we can only be drawn into sin. Thus, when the Lord Jesus says this, blessed are the peacemakers, then he does not say, blessed are those that agree with everyone. He does not say, blessed are those that are at peace with everyone in this world and everything in this world. That is a contradiction to what he says himself. And think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, for I am not come to send peace, but a sword. To set a man at variance with his father and a woman with her mother. And yet, it is the Lord Jesus himself that has been sent by his Father to bring true peace in this world. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But how? How would the Lord Jesus bring that peace that is by bringing men into peace with God? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is the goal. That is the purpose. That is the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did the Lord Jesus accomplish that goal? By a warfare with Satan. By a warfare with the devil. That is the way of the Lord. Paul says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace. Then he is a God of warfare. Boys and girls, Solomon's kingdom, that was a kingdom of what? Of peace. But how did that peace come? Who went before him? Who was the king before him? Why may he not build the temple of the Lord? Say that was David. Thus, it was a warfare that has gone before King Solomon to destroy all the enemies of the Lord. And that is now a representation of sin. Thus Christ came to fight and to conquer Satan. That was the promise of the Lord even to our first parents, that he shall bruise the head of Satan. He will take away his power. He shall destroy him. But when the Lord has promised that victory unto Christ, even in that declaration to the devil before our first parents, then he has also revealed that there shall be in this world a continual warfare. That is, not only shall he bruise that head of Satan, but he says, thou, that is the devil, he shall bruise his heel. Thus, though Satan's dominion that is taken away, Satan is still given a certain exercise of power. Thus, that warfare that is continuing in this world, even to the end of the world, even as the Lord had sworn that he will have a war with Amalek from generation to generation, blessed are the peacemakers. Peace, congregation, that is not to be sought at the expense of truth. There is no peace. That is but a false peace that is not worthy of the name of peace. Therefore, the Lord says, buy the truth, sell it not. True peace that exists in what? That exists in the unity in God's truth. True peace that exists in the unity of faith, in the unity of discipline. What did the Lord say? I will give them one heart and I will give them one way. How can it be any other way? What communion does light have with darkness? Thus James, he says that wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable. Where does the Lord Jesus place this beatitude? Blessed are the peacemakers. That is, after blessed are the pure in heart. Thus, what a task of the watchman on the walls of Zion. And what a great duty within his church that they are protecting from all error. We read that the Lord gave a message to the minister in that church of Thyatira and rebuked him. Why? Because he suffered to live that Jezebel, who set herself forth as a false prophet in the midst of the true church of God. And then that minister, that angel of the churches, of that church, then he sought peace in such a superficial way. Leave it alone. Leave it be. Don't stir anything up. No. The Lord says that is not the way to true peace. But that error had to be taken out of the way. Thus, a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. That is something that is so far from what the superficial Christianity of our day really makes that out to be. A true peacemaker congregation is a fighter. A true peacemaker is a warrior. Only there is one distinction to make here. That is not with men, but that is with sin. And with the sin which is in men. But let us sing first. Psalter 65, 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord His own will lead. If His word they still obey and His testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 65. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Lord Jesus, that does not say, congregation, for they are the children of God. But he says, for they shall be called the children of God. The principle of peacemaking, dwelling in the heart of God's church, cannot dwell there except that there is peace with God. Thus, that is a people that are brought into that new relation with God. Or is that our desire? That we also may be at peace with Him, that there may be that harmonious relation, that our sin may be taken out of the way, that there may be nothing coming in between, that there may be that blessed communion with God. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, they shall be called the children of God. Who shall call them so? Oh, in the first place, God shall call them so. Paul says Christ is not ashamed to call them brethren, and that God is not ashamed to be called their God. Thus, God shall call them His own children. And what shall He see in them? He shall see in them His own image in all its imperfection, but in its true beginning. Thus God shall call them His children. What a wonder. But also men, they shall be called the children of God by men. How will that be? Because the fruits of that peace between God and their soul that shall be made evident also in this life. How? In that peacemaking spirit. The bowels of mercy, that forbearing of one another in love, that forgiving one another, if any have a quarrel against another. Oh, they shall be recognized by the church. They shall be recognized within the church. Oh, they shall also be seen even by the world, that sometimes the world shall be constrained to say, behold, how they love one another. And they shall be called the children of God, and it shall be revealed on that last day before the whole world, when God Himself shall call them His children, when they shall shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. O congregation, what father? What father would not seek to have peace in his family? What minister? What consistory would not seek, would not desire that there would be peace in their congregation? What king would not desire, look, seek for peace within his kingdom? But now if there is peace anywhere in this whole world, should it not be within the church of God? If there is peace anywhere, if there is a harmonious relation between men anywhere in this world, should it not be amongst those who are gathered, who are united around that truth of God, especially when we see what is being prepared in the world in our days against that true church of God. But what did Paul say to the Corinthians? I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. What a shame that Saul has gone out to seek David as a partridge on the mountains. And what for? And what was the reason? Well, it was envy that lay in his heart. Oh, what a shame that in the 30 years' war in Germany, that the Protestant electors did not stand together shoulder to shoulder. Then had they also been able to stand against all their enemies that came against them. But there were quarrels. But there were disagreements. And wherefore? Was it over truth? It was over congregation self. What does James say? He says, whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts, which war in your members? No, we may not sacrifice truth for peace. But we are called to sacrifice ourself for this peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. What does that mean? That means cursed are the peace breakers. Especially when we are breaking the peace that is in the true church of God. What are we dealing with? Then we deal with souls who are traveling to a never-ending eternity. Then we are dealing with holy things. And then to break the peace, then we are cursed. Therefore, Paul says, mark them that cause divisions and avoid them, he says. Congregation does so much damage within the true church of God. And really, what is the reason? Or is it not mostly self? Thus, instead of warring against sin in myself, I war against my neighbor who sees the sin in me, who wants to warn me of my sin. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, we need to be united in a warfare. We need to be united in a warfare against not one another, against sin. Sin in myself, sin in my neighbor, sin in that true church of God. Thus peacemakers are honest. They are honest with themselves. They are honest with one another. Thus peacemakers truly care. Thus peacemakers are warning one another in love. Peacemakers do not overlook sin in themselves or their neighbor. Boys and girls, what did Moses do? He went out to see the people of the Lord. They were his brethren. And he saw them quarreling. And then he went to them. He said, "Why? Why? Wherefore smitest thou thy brother?" Therefore, the Lord Jesus has also given us the principle that he has laid out in Matthew 18. What is the principle for? "When my brother has offended." He has offended me. What does the Lord Jesus say? Just leave it alone. When he has offended me, turn my back to it, forgive him. No. What does he say? Go to him. Why? Why go to him? Why not just overlook it? Because there is no offense in my heart. And that offense in my heart needs to be removed. I do not live in true harmonious relation to my brother when I leave that offense within my heart. It needs to be made well. It needs to be made good between me and my neighbor. Therefore, he does not say, go away, but he says, go to him when he has offended you. Thus, not to sweep everything under the rug. Then we don't talk about small, little offenses, congregation. We are all wretched people. But when we cannot overlook it so that there remains that offense in our heart, then we do wrong to be silent. Is it possible for a true peacemaker to go to a court of law and to use a court of law and still be a peacemaker? What do you think, young people? The answer is yes, that is possible. There is a God in heaven, and it is not man that is made judges in the world, in courts, but it is God. And God has given them for a reason, that is for oppressed people. And a person that is oppressed may go unto that judge to seek relief from her oppressor. And thus it may rightly be used. However, remember that we have a deceitful heart. And what do we read in the Word of God? Paul says to the Corinthians, there is utterly a fault among you. A fault. And what is that fault? That you go to law one with another. So why do you not take wrong? Why do you not suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, he says, you do wrong and you do defraud, and that your brethren. Thus, he speaks against using that law to defraud our brother, not to seek relief under oppression. Oh, we have an evil heart. Boys and girls, Abraham. Abraham. He was given what by the Lord? That whole land of Canaan, promised by the Lord. And then a disagreement, he and Lot. Was it given to Lot or was it given to Abraham? So, no, it was given to Abraham. So Abraham had the rights. And what did Abraham say to Lot? Lot, you choose. If you will go to the left, I will go to the right. And if you will go to the right, I will go to the left. Blessed are the peacemakers. We need to close. People of the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has shed his blood for what? For peace. For peace. What is the nature of that kingdom? You know what Isaiah says about the kingdom? He says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. You know what else he says? He says, a little child shall lead them. You know who that little child is? That is God's servant. Little child. The least esteemed in the church. And when the wolf, because we all have our own character, when that wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and when the leopard shall lie down with the kid, you could take a little child and he can rule in the church. It is so easy. Oh, is that not a blessed church that is ready to receive the blessing, the true blessing, the true peace out of the hand of the Lord? Blessed are the peacemakers, congregation, for they shall be called the children of God. Not all peace is lawful, young people. Not all peace is lawful. Peace with this world, when they are walking in the ways of sin, is not commanded. And it is not lawful. With whom do you make peace? Oh, seek the peace with God. Don't we have a blessed task, minister? Not just to make peace, or to foster peace among people, but don't we have a blessed task? That is, that we may foster peace between God and your soul. Oh, that the Lord may give us to preach that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's the one side. Then on the other side, that we may say, congregation, we beseech you, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. Oh, what did Job say? Acquaint now thyself with him. And be, he says, at peace. They are the two things that are necessary. That God may be reconciled to man, and that man may be reconciled to God. And when God has been now reconciled to his church by the putting away of sin, by the cross of Christ, there is now peace. But when the Holy Spirit may now come to reconcile a man with God, then that peace will be experienced within our soul. Then you shall have peace, congregation, like a river. Like a river, a peace that is passing all understanding. And when we may be at peace with God, then we are at peace with his will, then there's so much rest, so much rest. And then we're at peace with our neighbor,
No, then we're at peace with our enemy. You know what we can say then? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So he may die. So he may be received by our Father. Blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen.
O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give it in our hearts. Make us to be peacemakers. Then it is necessary that there come peace with thee. O Lord, we cannot reconcile ourselves. O see us, look upon us. Through the blood of thy dear Son, then thou wilt be satisfied and give us to be reconciled to that triune God. And give us to be in peace with one another. Wilt thou bless thy word? Go with us, bring us safely to our homes. And with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour, help us to bring thy word a second time. We acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given. Also in this morning. And even to this moment, for Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 449, behold, how pleasant then is the union when brethren in the Lord have sweet communion. 'Tis like the oil on Aaron's head that running down into his beard doth spread, and the oil that flows upon his priestly dress, anointing him to holiness. 449, stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.